Oh, and that's a brilliant effort. And they've turned it right around. In the space of a few minutes, Saudi Arabia grabbed control of the game.
Welcome to the latest episode of Dowry, the Saudi football podcast, an episode being recorded to the backdrop of the unmistakable sound of the Formula One cars as Jeddah, of course, hosts the fourth edition. Can't believe it's the fourth edition already of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Joining us from the Red Sea, Corniche, is our very own Arab News sports editor, Ali Khaled, who's taken time off from wandering around the paddock to discuss the latest from the Saudi Pro League and the AFC Champions League. Two competitions in which Al Hilal seem to be in pole position, with the rest of the grid seemingly helpless to stop them, if you see what I did there, and stop them disappearing over the horizon and indeed taking the checkered flag. Ali, how are you and how is my favourite Jeddah?
It's great, man. Good to be back on the show and good to be in Jeddah. We've had a couple of days on the track. Wednesday was media day, and yesterday, Thursday, was practice sessions. It's been great. The weather's is lovely and crisp and very sunny. And it's been great, walking around the paddock. You know, obviously getting a little bit more crowded by the day. Quite a lot of interesting people around. A few people from the Al Ahli Football Club, which is just down the road, of course, here in Jeddah. We saw Roberto Firmino, Eduardo Mendy, the former Chelsea goalkeeper, Roger Ibanez as well. Alan Saint-Maximin for you, Peter. I know you're quite matey with him, but he hasn't shown up yet. You know, maybe he'll show up in the next couple of days. We're expecting, obviously more and more people today. And for the race, of course, we're expecting like a full paddock. A lot of interesting, high-profile Saudi personalities as well, sort of content creators and sports people, and a lot of drivers, former drivers. So always fantastic to be at any Grand Prix, really. But this is my second year covering the Jeddah one. It's great, And look, there's a few other things. As you say, we're obviously a football podcast, but quite a lot going on in Saudi Arabia in the last few days before the month of Ramadan starts.
Absolutely. We seem to say it regularly now, Ali. I think it's becoming one of the sporting capitals of the globe, which is absolutely great. Looking forward to the big race. Slightly overshadowed, so it would be nice to get back to what it's all about, which is the track. Looking forward to seeing what unfolds over the weekend. Listen, as well as that, there's also a huge, huge boxing showdown taking place. Knockout chaos as Anthony Joshua takes on Francis Ngannou. Are you all over that as well?
I wish I was. It's in Riyadh. A lot of people, I'm actually, it's amazing that it's taking place at the same time, getting to both the boxing and the Grand Prix is really a logistical difficulty, shall we say, not impossibility. I don't think many people can afford or have the time to watch the boxing on Friday night and then fly over for the race the next day.
Sure.
Unless you're we'll wait and see how the boxing goes tonight. I know a lot of people are looking forward to that, but I'm in Jeddah, so focusing on the racing and, of course, the football,
of course, which is why we're here. Let's bring it back to the game. We really should talk about the football, shouldn't we? Big Champions League matches during the week. We'll get to those in a minute. But before that, the big question is the race for the Saudi Pro League title over?
It could well be, Peter. I mean, the massive, massive news from yesterday is that Al Nassr have been beaten 3-1 at home by Al Rayyad. Incredible, really. It was a must-win for Cristiano and co. If they were to have any hope of catching Al Hilal, they've lost at home as well. And Hilal now really have an opportunity to open up a lead that would just about be impossible to bridge. I think you know, for many people, probably even currently, it's impossible to bridge, or what even was a few weeks ago. But after yesterday's loss, I mean, it's really hard to see Al Nassr how they can possibly make this up. Al Hilal themselves have rescued these kind of situations in the past, but you need a collapse from the other team, and we really can't see Al Hilal collapsing. Last week we spoke about Al Hilal hosting the reigning champions Etihad, if you remember, and we wondered, could this be one of those days they drop points? It wasn't. They won 3-1 to extend the lead to the top at the top to 9 points with a game in hand. That game in hand is tonight against Al Riyadh. One of the minor Riyadh derbies, but could see Al Hilal go 12 points clear if they win, and they will equal the world records of 27 wins in a row. As Paul Williams, who will be joining us soon, like mentioned to me, not an unbeaten run, but actually 26 wins in a row so far. Incredible stuff. The form they're in, I don't think you could see any other outcome than beating Riyadh today, equaling that record, and probably getting the world record next week. Incredible for and an amazing, what an achievement for Al Hilal. And really, we could be looking back at this weekend as the one where the Saudi Pro League season was decided.
Indeed, look, plenty more on the SPL to discuss. We'll do that shortly with our special guest, as you say. But first, some big games in the Champions League. Not a great few days for Al Nassr.
No, I mean, we're just saying how, their title challenge is over. The highly anticipated matchup with Al Ain saw Al Nassr lose 1-0 in the away leg. Look, the way things are going for them, there's no indication this could be turned around easily in the return leg. And they will be favorites, I think, to win the match and at least, possibly take it into extra time or just win it in 90 minutes. But Al Nassr are Al Ain are a good team, and they could very well, I mean, this could be a bit of an upset on the cards as well. And Al Nassr will be thinking this is their best opportunity to have a really sort of season to remember, one that will justify, the presence of all these big stars on their books and all that, because like I said, the title really does look like it's gone. A lot of people that I spoke to here yesterday, both Etihad fan, sorry, I should say Hilal fans, Al Nassr fans, and people elsewhere as well, were thinking, that's it, the title's done here. Look, in the Champions League, in the All Saudi tie, Al Hilal beat Al Ittihad 2-0 at home, only days after beating them in the league, of course. Goals came from Mitrovic and Salem Eddoçary in front of a great crowd, a really, really static crowd, should say. And I think in that tie, that really should be that. Again, just talking to some of the journalists and people here, and a few Etihad fans as well, they not many people see Hilal like throwing this one away. Etihad haven't really been having the greatest of seasons, and even the second leg at home, I really think Hilal will not necessarily comfortably go through, but will go through. They just look unstoppable at home and in Asia.
Absolutely. Let it be said, Ali, just before I bring today's special guest in, this just going back to Ronaldo, since the altercation and his fine and his one game ban, it unsettled anything. They had a couple of poor results, and maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, Peter. It's a really good point because, as you say, there's been a bit of a, like, negativity around the place. Look, the thing was, even when we went into the Asian Cup break, it was like, I think the points difference was 7 at that point, so it was already like a big points difference, and in a way, their title challenge was hanging by a thread. They didn't really have much margin for error, so even, if you go through, a couple of bad results, which happens to any team, that, then Al Hilal will just are merciless. They'll just like take care of it eventually. 7 points is quite a big gap already. Now it's 9; it could be 12 by tomorrow morning. So, but yes, I think certainly we might look back again on, I said on these few days, but could be on this last couple of 10 days or so, and think, this is where it went wrong for Al Nassr.
He definitely upset the apple cart. Okay, listen, great time to bring in our special guest all the way from Down Under, Paul Williams of the Asian Game website and podcast. Paul, as always, great to have you back with us.
Great to join you guys. How are you?
Very well, very well. Just getting my point in there about Ronaldo possibly upsetting an apple cart that was already off down the hill. We know that, but it hasn't added, Paul, has it, to any stability or any sort of possibilities of that gap being looked at by Ronaldo and co.
It certainly hasn't. And as you said, the point you made, ever since that point in time, they haven't won. They drew 4-4 home with Al Hazem in the game that Ronaldo missed. Talisca scored a hat-trick in that game, but that was a shock result to draw 4-4 against the team that was, at that point, and still is, bottom of the table. They then went to LA and lost that game over there. And then somehow, I mean, when I woke up this morning and saw the result that they'd lost 3-1 at home to Al Rayyad, as you said before, I mean, and unless there is the implosion of all implosions from Al Hilal, that is the title race done and dusted. You would think you would expect them to get the job done tonight against Al Riyadh, that would extend that lead out. And it's impossible to see Al Hilal imploding in that sense, because as Ali just said before, they're absolutely merciless so far this season. And even if Al Nassr went on to win every game for the remainder of the season, it still may not have been enough to overturn that deficit, as he said. So they had no margin for error, and now they've sort of just gone and thrown it away in the space of a week.
Paul, it is incredible. I mean, yesterday, I didn't manage to get to watch it because, we were on the track most of the day. And I know a few of the other Saudi journalists who were with us as well. They were with us on the track. So, and because of the timing, getting back to the hotel, a lot of us missed the game. And, there was just disbelief that this result, went Al Rayyad's way. And, it was an absolute, must win game, you could possibly understand if it was thrown away against one of the big boys and all that. I mean, no disrespect to Al Rayyad, of course, but to basically, it will be looked back on as in like a massive, massive letdown. And Paul, I mean, actually, just before we get into like the rest of the football, I just wanted to mention you are a big Formula One fan. I know that. And I know you're a fan of Daniel Ricciardo as well. You've got Oscar Piastri as well, a couple of Aussies here, the timing is not great for you in terms of the timing of the race, but will you be keeping an eye on it, on the result?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, massive F1 fan, have been for the majority of my life. So incredibly jealous of you being there at the Grand Prix this weekend. But certainly, as you said, the time zone isn't friendly with here in Australia. The race will start at 3 a.m. in the morning, and qualifying is around about a similar time. So not particularly friendly, but I'll absolutely be paying attention. First thing I do normally in the morning when I wake up is, if I'm not checking the Saudi Pro League scores, I'm checking the F1 qualifying and practice results. And a mixed day for my boy Daniel Ricciardo yesterday. He just said that we'll be hoping for a better day today and to see how it goes in qualifying.
Well, I mean, the good thing, Paul, as you would imagine, as you would expect, I should say, with Daniel, he was walking around the paddock, maybe not later in the day, but certainly earlier in the morning when he arrived. He looked very relaxed. He was smiling and, waving at everyone, as he always does and all that. So it was good to see him. He had a few troubles last year, of course, with the, being out first, coming back in, the injury, and then coming back. So, look, I mean, I think, it's good to have him back, fit, and let's hope he improves as well in the coming days. Just going back to the football, Paul, you wrote a brilliant piece for us for Arab News, where you likened Al Hilal's sort of march, this record-breaking march, and this their form and their absolute dominance, and you likened it to, one Max Verstappen, it is incredible, like what both are doing, really, the sheer dominance, where you cannot see them being beaten, So talk us a little bit more about this record-breaking run by Al Hilal, and, just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I thought it was timely with the Grand Prix in Jeddah this weekend, obviously, that you've got one as a team and one as an individual, but I mean, it's still the team Red Bull is doing remarkably well as well, but particularly focusing on Max. You've just got two entities, if I can put it like that, that are just at the absolute peak of their powers. And I wrote in the piece that, you know, sport is the pursuit of excellence. That is what any individual or team, when they set out on the field, it's what they strive to achieve. It's the striving for perfection within their performances, whether that's as a team or as an individual. And it's incredibly rare that a team or an individual achieves that perfection. It's why so many players keep going and going, because they can always see that there's always room for improvement. There's still more that they can do. And I'm sure within Max Verstappen and within Al-Hilal, they probably see that as well, that they still think they've got room for improvement. But from the outside, it's just absolute sporting perfection. Max had 10 wins in a row last year, won 17 of the last 18 races, only lost that one in Singapore, where bizarrely the car just didn't suit the track. But 17 of 18 races is a remarkable record. It's now 18 of 19 when you include Bahrain last week, and it's hard to see anyone beating him in Jeddah this week. It's a period of domination unlike anything we've seen in Formula One in the past. And we've seen the domination from Michael Schumacher, the domination from Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, but none of those dominated in the way that Max and Red Bull are dominating at the moment. And then on the flip side, Al-Hilal are doing exactly the same as what Max is doing. We've never seen a period of domination like this in the Saudi Pro League before, where they're undefeated so far. After 20 matches, as you said, the last 26 competitive fixtures are 26 wins in a row. I mean, it's staggering. As you said, that the world record is 27. You would expect that they would equal that tonight when they play tonight or tomorrow. I'm not sure, getting my time zones mixed up. When they play Al-Riyadh, you'd be shocked if they drop points in that one. And then they go to Jeddah next week to set a new world record when they play Al-Ittihad. And they would absolutely love to spoil the party and ensure Al-Hilal don't get that outright world record. But in the form that they're in, I don't want to go and jinx them, but it's hard to see them losing a game at the moment, because just to pick up on the phrase you used before, they're absolutely merciless. And this is a team, don't forget, that's got arguably its best player, at least its most talented player, who's been on the sidelines for the majority of the year in Neymar. So it's scary to think how much better they could have been with him in the side, because they're an incredible machine at the moment. They've got the Saudi Pro League wrapped up. They're 2-0 up against Ittihad in the Champions League. It's hard to see them not advancing at that point. It's hard to see anyone beating them to that title again this season. Max and Hilal are just two phenomenons at the moment that are just at the absolute peak of their powers, and both are achieving, you know, sporting excellence, which I think we should just sit back and admire. There's a lot of griping, so to speak, in Formula One about the lack of competitiveness. And while I fully understand that, I think, as I wrote in the piece, you sort of just have to sit back as well and just appreciate the greatness that we're witnessing. And we'll look back on this in 10, 20, 30 years time, when Max has got 4, 5, 6, 7 world titles under his belt. And just, you know, we'll be telling our children and grandchildren that, you know, we lived through this period of domination of one of the greatest athletes of all time. And if Hilal can achieve a feat of perhaps going through the season undefeated, which has never been done before, we'll be talking about them in the same breath as well.
Paul, so many good points. You know, I mean, you mentioned that a race in Singapore last year, and you can see the winning mentality of Max Verstappen and the winning mentality at Al-Hilal. You know, the minute they don't win, you know, you can see the reaction to it, you know, like when he lost. I mean, you know, at that point, you know, I don't think anybody doubted, you know, in Singapore that he was going to win the title and all that. And, you know, he'd won so many races and all. And he was absolutely furious with the car, and he was, this is unacceptable and all that. With Hilal, we mentioned this with you in past podcast last season. They didn't win anything, and that wouldn't have gone down well, you know, at all, you know. And they've come back with a vengeance. Also, in the piece, you mentioned that, you know, Max Verstappen himself has said, "Look, you know, people say, you know, maybe you've got the best car, of course you're going to win all that. And he said, well, you know, like, again, you know, people should appreciate that. And also, like, you know, again, a couple of similar points is that, you know, he does have the best car, you know, but like a really good indication is that, you know, this rocket ship that Red Bull have, you know, his there's still a considerable gap between him and his teammate Perez, you know. So, again, you know, like you might have the best, you know, resources, but you still got to perform. Same with Al-Hilal. A lot of people will say, look, they're the biggest club in Saudi. They will have more resources, get to buy the best players, but you still have to perform. There are other clubs who spend a lot of money, doesn't always guarantee or spend a lot of money or get the best players. Doesn't always work out, you know. So, you know, it is absolutely incredible. And as you say, probably will be appreciated in the future, those two. So,
And just picking up, like you said, that the gap that you point out, as you said, between Verstappen and Perez, just it shows the individual quality of Verstappen. And again, with Hilal, we know the investment that have gone into the other big clubs, Akli, Al-Ittihad and Al Nasser as well, who have all got the world-class players that Al-Hilal have got, but none of them are performing at the level that Al-Hilal are at. So it's not simply just having the tools. It's being able to get the best out of it that is what separates the good from the great, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the great point. Listen, I mean, I mean, in a way, you know, it's I wouldn't, you know, it's not for me to say it's sad. I'm not a fan of either club, but you know, we're not even in mid-March, and the title race, the SPL title race, you know, could be over, or really is over. I really can't see how this could possibly be turned around. It does leave a few other questions, I suppose, in the places below that are of interest. I mean, we're all, you know, been very impressed with Al Ahly. I believe, you know, like the way they played this season. You know, do you think, you know, they've got that third place locked up, or can you see Ittihad making a play for it?
I don't think they've got it locked up just yet, because they're still capable of dropping points themselves. So I don't think they've got it locked up just yet. Of course, Hilal will finish first, Al Nasser will finish second. I don't think anyone's going to, I can't see Al Ahly, you know, overturning the gap to Al Nasser unless they completely implode. But you'd expect, given the qualities that they've got, that they'll be able to turn it around. I do think missing Anderson Talisca for a substantial period of time is going to hurt them. They had that 4-4 draw in which he played, but the two losses that they've had now against Al Ain and Al Riyadh have come without Anderson Talisca. And I think that partnership that he had with Ronaldo was so prolific that I think his absence is going to be felt, but it's still hard to see them not finishing second. But yeah, Al Ahly, I don't think they've got it sewn up just yet. It's whether the teams that are below them on the table are capable of stringing together consistent performances to bridge that gap, and that remains to be seen. And I think there's still a lot of interest at the foot of the table as well, and the relegation battle. It's coming sort of to that time of year where that comes into sharper focus. Al Raed were just above the relegation zone. That's a massive 3 points for them. Two teams in the relegation zone, Al Tayy and Al Hazem, play each other this week. That's a 6-pointer game, that one. 3 points separate them at the moment. So whoever gets it, it's going to be a massive 3 points. So while the title race might not be done, and again, similarities to F1 last year, is, you know, while Max might be far out ahead, there are still intriguing battles behind in the midfield at different stages of the pack. And that's the case in the SPL as well. Al Hilal might be miles out in front, but there's still a lot of intrigue elsewhere in the league that'll keep us interested until the end of the season.
Final word, Paul, on Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, one of, you know, remains really central to everything that's happening in Saudi Arabia. And we mentioned a few weeks ago, I think it was yourself on the pod as well, and I said, like, should Al Nassr drop out of the title race, do you think they will, like, really turn their attention to the Champions League, which is inevitable anyway, you know, of course, I mean, you know, that is now remains. But like it sort of in terms of maybe perhaps resting players or, you know, maybe taking their eye off the ball. And I think you said, you know, that's not how he is. And, you know, that we don't expect Ronaldo to drop his standards, I think, nor the other players, to be fair as well. But I'm just saying that possibly, you know, subconsciously they must have thought yesterday, you know, You know, it's gone now. I don't think this will go down well with Ronaldo. I mean, you know, I'm not suggesting anything about like the coach that couldn't possibly go down. Do you think so?
No, he's a winner and he hates losing. And that doesn't always come out in the best way in terms of the way he reacts on the pitch, but it's that winning mentality that has allowed him to perform at such an elite level for such a long time. This is a guy who's just turned 39, he'll probably be paying into his 40s. He can do that because of the mentality that he has, and it's that drive and winning desire that has made him such an elite athlete. But I agree in that I think their attention will largely turn now to the Champions League because they've got a huge encounter this week against LA, and it is just a 1-0 deficit. It's something that they can easily overturn. They're one of the highest scoring teams in the SPL. So although they don't have Anderson, Talisca, they do still have the firepower in Ronaldo and others to cause LA in damage at home. It's so evenly poised. It's going to be such a fantastic occasion. It was a fantastic occasion in LA in with a sold out stadium, a fantastic win for the home side. This tie always looked really evenly poised on paper, despite the sort of disparity in investment. You know, LA in are a fantastic Emirati club who always perform well on this stage in the Champions League. So they were always going to be a difficult opposition. I cannot wait for that second leg because Al Nassr are going to need to attack. They're an attacking team anyway, both teams. So I suspect this is just going to be end-to-end, all-out attack, and it promises fireworks, so I cannot wait for this one. And if they get through, it looks like it's going to be Al Hilal that get through, and we're going to be set up with an Al Nassr versus Al Hilal semi-final. Amazing. Which would just be absolutely incredible again.
Fantastic stuff, Paul. And, you know, something that many of us have called for in the past, you know, with the shift in how the Champions League is played, is no longer over the calendar year. It is like it falls within this traditional season. So it's nice to see that. It's good to see, you know, like maybe like the league is gone now, but you know, there's a lot of excitement still in the Champions League. Thanks a lot, Paul. Brilliant stuff as usual.
Cheers, right. Guys. Thank you.
Great insight, Paul. Before you go though, got to ask you for your regular. He's smiling there, Ali, because he knows what's coming.
Yeah, he was trying to get away.
He's trying to, but there is no escape. Let me just put this last one to you. Okay, so it's a double question this week. Who goes through between Nassr and Al Ain and Hilal and Ittihad?
Oh, one of those is easier to answer than the other. Hilal will go through against Ittihad. Even though their second leg is in Jeddah, I can't see them overturning that 2-0 deficit. So I fully expect Al-Hilal to go through there. I think it'd be great if they can do it as a 28th consecutive win and set a world record. That would be fantastic for Saudi football as well. In the other one, the absence of Anderson Talisca is going to hurt, but I still think Al Nassr might just have enough to get through. I think they've got the firepower to do it, knowing that they need a win, knowing that this is their chance for silverware this year. I'm still going to back them to get through and set up that grandstand semi-final that we spoke about.
Brilliant stuff, as always, from Paul. Ali, same question to you.
I think I can't really disagree with Paul. Like Al-Hilal, you know, to be honest, I mean, you know, they've been... We've forgotten how, you know, they haven't, and I've forgotten a time when they weren't winning or drawing or anything like that, you know. So I would expect them, even in a way, tie, even like with the, you know, it had fans will be like right behind them and all that. I think Al Hilal will actually win the match anyway, you know. They've been playing so well. So expect them to go through. Al Nassr, Al Ain, as Paul said, it's really, really tough to call, you know. I mean, you know, especially after, you know, a few days ago, I would have said even with their slight problems, Al Nassr would be, you know, would overturn this. But after the loss to Al Rad, you know, you start to think, well, another bad day, you know, at the office, as they say, you know, like, and, you know, that's it. They're out of the Champions League. However, you know, I think, you know, they will be focused, you know, like the, you know, this loss, you know, and being out of the title race will focus their minds that, you know, this is really it, all or nothing on this match. So I will expect them to go through. It will be very, very close, though.
Okay, great stuff, yes. Guys.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Listen, what a massive, as we said at the top of the show, massive, massive weekend of sport and greatness in Saudi Arabia. Massive thanks to our special guest, Paul. Whether you're looking for a knockout punch, the checkered flag, or hit in the back of the net, have a brilliant sporting weekend, and we will catch you next time on Dowry, our very own Arab News podcast.